February 22nd, 1978, Hugh McGahee.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We find our text for this morning recorded in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, to chapter 4, verse 1 as follows. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensemble. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their soul, whose mind is their soul. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This is our text. False pride is the sin of everyone who sets himself up as a moral example for others to follow. We might well ask then if we as future pastors have a right or even a duty to set up ourselves as some sort of an example of good behavior to be emulated by members of our congregation. It is true that oftentimes superficial Christians and those not yet converted will put the clergy in an unenviable position of being the moral ideal not only of the congregation, but also the members of the community. And those who view Christianity as no more than some sort of a moralistic society that dictates to people how they should behave will have great difficulty understanding it when leaders of the congregation and pastors are found behaving outside of the purview of God's law. Knowing him as we do, it seems most extraordinary then that Paul would hold himself up as some sort of an example to be followed by others. When by his own admission, he persecuted the church before his conversion and had constantly had trouble with his own evil flesh thereafter. And certainly much damage has been done by those who consider themselves some sort of a good example. There's a little Pharisee in all of us, which is to be drowned by daily contrition and repentance. But he always seems to be given some sort of artificial restoration by someone. And he returns to Plato once again. There is a continual temptation in all of us to favor our own supposed goodness and overlook the weaknesses that continue in our own evil nature, and also to underestimate and despise others who do not measure up to the standards that we set up. It is indeed hazardous to exert more influence on others by example of words or by law. When we do that according to our flesh, we presuppose that we are somehow more superior to others. And superiority that condescends to appear benevolent is even worse, since it is the rootstock of clerical tyranny and feeds resentment in those to whom it proposes to benefit. Before we set up ourselves as it is called a moral example, the scripture directive of be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, has got to be fulfilled in our lives, and we all know that that is impossible. Great damage occurs when one who sets himself up as an example of high moral ethics is found to be outside the parameters of his own standards. The whole system collapses into a heap of disrepute and rejection from the very ones that he proposes to benefit. Such mindsets are false pride, and eventually they lead to destruction ending in the catastrophic shock of the judgment of God, depart from me. Therefore, we may be sure that Paul is not exhibiting his own righteousness or goodness as an example for others to emulate. He is rather pointing to the righteousness of someone else, and that someone is Christ. For in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, we read, if anyone feels proud, he should feel proud of the Lord. Not the man who approves himself is really approved, but he whom the Lord approves. And we find that new mindset in Holy Scripture. Through these sacred inspired words, the power of the Spirit converts us then into a new creature. New professors and students are privileged to work in that word full time. The same manner as Paul then, there can be a new creature in us because of Christ. This God-man offers himself a sacrifice for our total depravity. And even though equal to and of one substance with the Father, he became man in every temptation, suffering, and death. He shows us his manhood. He does what we were unable to do, namely to fulfill that life, that law, with a perfect life. And wonder of all wonders when he continues and goes on to the cross willingly, becoming the perfect sacrifice for imperfect man. His resurrection then from the dead seals to us that forgiveness which he won for us on the cross. And this Christ now proclaims us just and righteous in his sight, and sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts to create a hand of faith by which we grab a hold of that salvation. And as members now of that new community of faith, made just by Christ's perfect sacrifice, we then with all the members of his body anticipate with joy the resurrection when he shall refashion our bodies into a new body like his. In the meantime, we live in this frail structure with the eternal hope of a glorious hope thereafter. This is the hope that sustains Paul through dire straits. This is the reason that he wants us to be as he is. Through Paul, we see what God does with sinful human beings. May those who be saved them in the future and pastors see us as through Christ through us also. Amen.